We want to look tonight in Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 21, and we want to begin reading with verse 8. And the title of our message tonight is Love for Christ, Love for Christ. And in this passage of Scripture, you see a concerned group of people. They're concerned for Paul. They're concerned for the ministry. They're concerned for safety. But yet you also see a desire of an individual, a servant of the Lord, that really has a tremendous testimony, and one that we could learn from. And so let's begin reading with verse 8 of Acts chapter 21. The Bible says, "In the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, we see here in this passage such a tremendous desire, tremendous testimony, tremendous love for you. Help us, Lord, that no matter what we face, no matter what challenges that we have before us, that we always put you first. And help us to have that same desire as Paul, to just love you even more. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love for Christ. You know, I think of another time in the Bible where Peter told Jesus that he would go with him, that he would be even willing to put to death or be put to death. But yet, this was before the time that Jesus was crucified, and we know the story, we know what happened, we know that Peter, the Lord told Peter that he would deny him three times, and Peter said, no, this won't happen, but yet it did. And the cock crowed, and he went out and wept bitterly. We also know what took place afterwards, how that the Lord Jesus used him in a mighty way and continued to use him, and what a tremendous testimony Peter had. But Paul here told his companions that he was willing. He was willing to go. He was willing to be bound. He was even willing to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. What was it that made Paul so determined? What was it that made Paul so successful in his life? What caused him to do what he did? What caused him to have such a zeal for the Lord? I believe tonight that it was simply his love for Christ. There was a great concern for Paul's safety. There was a great concern for Paul's life. People cared for him. People cared for what he might face. And that even speaks well of Paul, because those that were concerned for him, it speaks well of Paul's character. It speaks well of Paul's testimony. It speaks well of Paul's love for others. And there was just something in Paul and in his life that made him so effective, because he had an effective ministry. There was also something in Paul's life that made him fully determined, because he was determined. We see that in this passage, how that Paul was determined. He was a determined individual. But not only was he determined, he was also willing. He was willing to face the obstacles. He was willing to face what was put before him. And what an example he was for others. What an example that he is for us, as he would soon face what was in store. What caused this effectiveness? What caused this determination? What caused this willingness? What caused him to be an example to others and have the qualities? And that's none other than his love for Christ. He never got over his salvation. He never got over what the Lord did for him on that Damascus road. You got to remember Paul's life and how that he was, I guess you would say, he was full of religion, but he wasn't full of Jesus. And on that Damascus road, when that change took place, and he says to the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He meant what he said. And when he meant what he said, the Lord told him, he said, "You're going to suffer." He said, "You're going to suffer for my name's sake." But through his ministry, through Paul's ministry, the Lord blessed him. And we know the Lord blessed him because of the testimony and because of his writings and his care and his love. But the other reason that we know the Lord blessed him is because people cared for him. You know, it wasn't just a one-way street that Paul cared for others, because he did. He wanted them to be saved, and he wanted them to live right, and he wanted them to do right, and he ministered to them. But they also loved him. And so that speaks well of his testimony, but it also speaks well for his love for Christ. You know, there's some individuals that might proclaim the gospel, but yet they care for others. They don't care for others. They don't care. You don't see the compassion. You don't see the care. You just see someone presenting, but yet Paul was different. Paul had a tremendous burden. And of course, we know that he was serving the Lord, and we know that he was doing it for the Lord Jesus, and we understand those things. But he was definitely one that you could look on and you could learn from and that you could trust. You know, there's a lot of people out there that you see on social media, and you see in the different the avenues that you can see on the internet and so on. You don't know if you can trust them or not. You don't know if you can follow them. You don't know if they have that testimony. Well, You know, I don't think when people looked at Paul, followers looked at Paul, that they had no doubt that he had a love for Jesus Christ, that he had a tremendous message to proclaim, and the fact that you could trust him. And that's why they were so concerned about his safety, and they told him, they said, you know, don't go because of what was prophesied or what was told. They told him not to go. And then Paul says, and I think about this, and I kind of meditated on this for just a little while, because, you know, Paul says the words, he was concerned, and he says, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" In other words, Paul was concerned, and Paul was concerned that they were concerned, but yet Paul was so concerned about the message and about what was to be proclaimed, and the fact that he knew it would impact lives because of the gospel that he proclaimed and what God had called him to do, that he was willing to go, but yet he was still concerned about others. You know, I think of the different tactics that Satan continues to use, and I believe one of the tactics that he uses is distraction. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be distracted from the mission, and he wants us to be distracted, and he wants us to lose focus, and he wants us to lose focus tonight. And we can be discouraged over a lot of different things. We can be discouraged because we look back and we say things, you know, we can say things, well, you know, things weren't like they were 50 years ago, or we can say that they weren't like it in our childhood, and we can say all those things, and there may be some truth to that, but we shouldn't get discouraged because we have the same message, we serve the same God, and he's still got the same power. You know, because Paul, yes, he knew he was going to face hardship. He knew that he was subject to being bound, but yet he was still willing to go because he believed that there was a cause. And we should know tonight that there's a cause. There's a cause. You look at the things that's happening in the world today, and you look at what's happening, and you see all the turmoil that's in our land, and we look back and we say there's a cause. There's a cause. But Satan wants us to be distracted. When I used to play baseball, there's something, and I don't know that I haven't gone to a little league game in a very, very long time, and I don't know if they still do it or not. But when I was up to bat, and the pitcher was, and I remember a particular game that stands out to me that I used to play baseball, and I was up to bat, and there was this pitcher that was a lot bigger than I was. And the catcher had, in the catcher's mitt, he had this fluorescent orangish, reddish, stripe that went around the catcher's mitt. In other words, that was giving the pitcher something to aim to in the catcher's mitt. Well, with the oversized pitcher, and then with the catcher, that had this ring around his glove that just stood out with a fluorescent. And then you had the infield chanting, saying, "Hey, batter, batter," you know, like they do. Then that caused a major distraction. And I remember that particular game that the pitcher threw three strikes in a row, and I never swung. I never swung. Because I was so distracted by what I thought was an intimidation that he threw three pitches. That's all he had to throw. Three pitches that went across the plate, and I never swung. The coach asked me, he said, "Why didn't you at least swing and try something?" And I didn't have an answer, but I knew what happened. Because there was an intimidation. And therefore, we shouldn't be intimidated about what might happen in the future. We shouldn't be intimidated because we have a love for Christ that Paul had, and that's exactly what Satan wants us to be. Satan wants us to be intimidated about the things that's happening around us. He wants us to be intimidated. But Paul had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he also had a special relationship with others that he knew that there was a cause. He knew there was a cause. And by the way, I did get up to bat later on in the game, and the coach told me that particular pitcher only knew how to throw a straight ball. He didn't know how to do anything else. And he says, I promise you, if you just swing, you'll hit the ball. And believe it or not, I did. And I hit it over the first baseman's head, and I got a base hit. Now, how do you think I remember that so many years ago? Because I didn't get too many base hits, probably. But you know, I go back to what Satan tries to do. And Satan wants to do anything and everything to distract us. But if we focus on our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we focus on Him, and we put our eyes on Him, regardless of what distractions, and we're going to have distractions in our life, and we're going to have difficulties in our life, but if we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I believe things will happen. And I believe the Lord will use us just like He used Paul. And the Lord already knew what Paul would face. Paul was already told what he would face. But Paul continued on his journey. What led to his love for Christ? What led to his love for Christ? Well, First of all, I want to make mention, I want to just give you a few points tonight. And the first thing is, he never got over his salvation. He never got over that change that took place in his life, and we shouldn't either. If the Lord has saved us, and the Lord has blessed us, and the Lord has, if we have that realization that I would be nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ, then I believe that that's one thing that will help us maintain our focus, is never get over our salvation. But there's something else, and that is this: obedience. Paul was obedient, and we can be obedient too. John 14, verse 15, the Bible says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And that's what he says, and Jesus says in John 14, 11. One who loves Jesus will love the Word. Will love the Word. And when we're loving the Word, then we feel His presence. There's been times that I've been discouraged or distracted or troubled about something, and I pick up my Bible and start reading it, and there's just peace that comes over me. It's a peace. John 14, 21. The Bible says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 23 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's important for us to be in His word. You know, I'll go back to some of Satan's tactics. In Satan's tactics, he's got so many avenues that he can cause a disturbance in a Christian's mind. He's got so many avenues out there, and we can talk about, you can talk about the television, you can talk about the internet, you can talk about the social media avenues, you can talk about so many things, you could talk about, the way the world is, you can talk about, we could talk about so many avenues that Satan can cause us a disturbance or a distraction that, and of course, the most important thing is spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord. We spend time with the Lord through His Word and just spending time. You know, there's been times in my life that I've been so discouraged or so distracted in my life and that I just hold on to my Bible and I just hold on to it because I found comfort. And so Paul was obedient. He was obedient to his call and his love for Christ stood out from his obedience to the Word. And then I think that Paul had a pure life. I believe there was some purity there, making sure that our sins are confessed. The Bible tells us, and of course we still have that sinful nature. We live in a sinful world, and we understand when things happen in our life, or maybe we make bad decisions, or maybe we, do things that act maybe the way the Lord might not be pleased with. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Paul kept a pure life. He kept a pure testimony. And then he studied about him. He spent time with him. He prayed because he loved him. Because he loved him. And I don't think we could ever learn enough about Jesus. I don't think we could ever learn enough, but every little bit. I may not know a whole lot, but I knew more than I did because I spent time with him. Paul had a tremendous burden. Paul had a tremendous love for Christ. And the Bible is full of love. You know, I look at God's Word as a love story. As a love story. Because you can take someone like us, someone who's just a simple sinner, and you can see how much Jesus Christ loves us, that the Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins and that we have hope in Jesus. That's a love story. That's a love story. And then he spent time communing with Jesus. You know, families have reunions a lot of times and people get together. You catch up. I told you recently about, a high school reunion that I had 40 years that Darla and I went to, and you try to catch up with people and you try to see how they're doing, how their life is and those type of things. But I probably won't see some of those folks until probably the next reunion. And that's sometimes how family reunions go. You don't, you get together, you see somebody a little while there, and then you don't see them anymore. But I think communion with the Lord Jesus is that you spend time with Him every day. You spend time with Him every day. I believe that's how Paul had an effective ministry, is because he spent time with Him every day. And then number five, a love for Him, a love for Jesus, will lead us to being willing to serve. To be willing to serve. Paul was willing to serve. We all can't be a Paul, but we can be who we are. We can be who we are. We may not be one that goes to Jerusalem or goes to another country like some of our missionaries, but yet we can still serve Him. There may be dangers, and we know that there'll even be sacrifices. But Paul was willing because of his love. Paul's testimony says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. You see, Paul went through a lot. Paul went through a lot in his ministry, but yet he was willing to serve. How do we know Paul loved the Lord Jesus? Because he was willing to serve him. Because he was willing to serve him. And he proclaimed the name of Jesus. How to love him? How do we love him? How do we grow? How do we have the same that Paul had as far as a love? Well, it's found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. You see, we have that realization is that Jesus truly loves us. Jesus truly loves us. There's a song that used to be sang at the Billy Graham Crusades. That was, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. That's what Paul had. He had a desire. Yes, he had a tremendous relationship with others. They were concerned about him. They were concerned. They told him not to go. Paul says, I've got a broken heart. But he also says, I'm ready. I'm ready. Not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the difference. He was willing. He was willing. And the Bible goes on to say, and we'll close with this, the Bible goes on to say that when they realized that they couldn't change his mind, when they realized that they saw his determination and his zeal and his love, that it says in verse 14 that when we were, when he wouldn't be persuaded, it says that they ceased. And they said, the will of the Lord be done. And if we could live a life that said, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll do. Whatever your will is for me, I'll do. I believe that's when we have a heart like Paul. That's when we have a heart like Paul. But how do we have a heart? We love Jesus even more. We have that love for Christ. We have that love for Christ. Because right now, for many, life is tough. There's a lot of challenges. But may we not lose our focus on loving Jesus. May we not lose our focus on loving Jesus. That's the most important thing, is loving Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And we thank you that we can see a tremendous love that Paul had for you and how we can learn from that. Father, we know that there's a lot of struggles And we know there's a lot of tough times. And we know there's a lot of burdens. But through it all, help us to not lose our focus on loving you. Help us to love you more. Help us to be close to you. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to fellowship with you. And help us, Lord, to be willing to say in our life, Lord, whatever you will, I'll do. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for those that have been viewing. We thank you for those that are here. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us just love you even more because you first loved us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.